Well, good morning. Last week on my day off, I was home with the boys, and Kara was working, and the girls were at school, and so it was just the boys and I. And Grady was awake, and he wanted some breakfast, and so he got me out of bed. He made me get up and get out of bed, and so we got up and got around and went downstairs and to get him something to eat. And as I was getting his breakfast made, Grady said, "Hey, Dad, can I have a can of pop?" I said, "Pop, you got to be crazy. You ain't having a can of pop for breakfast." And he said, "Well, Mom said I could." So I let him have a pop, and then I yelled at Kara later for telling him that he could have a pop. No, really. So I questioned him, and I said, your mom said you could have a can of pop for breakfast." Yeah, she said I could have a can of pop for breakfast. Mom said that. The same mom who gives Dad dirty looks when he goes out and gets a can of pop anytime. Like that same mom, we're talking about the same person, right? Yeah. Mom said I could have a can of pop for breakfast. I said, "You're crazy." Here's the thing, I knew that was a lie. I knew that was a lie. Why? Because I know my wife, right? I know my wife. I know her character. I know she would never be okay with this. And I had to discern a truth from a lie, and it wasn't difficult because I know my wife. In this world, there are lies and scams happening all around us. I've gotten emails before. You've probably gotten emails too. I've gotten emails before from people, I don't even know who they are, saying, "Hey, we've been trying to hunt you down, and I'm so glad we found you. You have a relative that's a billionaire, and they've died, and we've been trying to hunt you down. You're the only heir to this, and if you just send us some money, we'll get you that money." And I'm like, okay, whatever. You just kind of hit delete. I'm sure there's people there that are like, "Oh, really? Oh, I'll send them some money then and get my $1 billion. And they're still waiting on their $1 billion. You just scroll through Facebook. You scroll through Facebook and you can run into plenty of fake news stories, right? Who people are fooled into thinking it's truth. We are at a point in time in our world where you can't take anything as truth before fact-checking it, right? I mean, you have to fact-check. The reality is there aren't just financial scams or news scams. There are also spiritual scams, right? False cults and religions lure millions into their traps, promising them fulfillment, happiness, and more. Even among those claiming to be evangelicals who say they believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the false teaching abounds. There's false teachings. And this is no new problem. This is exactly what John is concerned about in our text for this morning. We've been kind of hanging out in 1 John. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and open up to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Before we begin with our verses this morning, I want to back up where we ended last week in verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 24. Let me read it for us this morning. Chapter 3, verse 24. It says, "Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." So we know that he lives in us by the Spirit, or the presence of the Spirit in our lives, right? The best analogy is a human being's relationship to air. People must live in the air so the air can come into them, right? The indwelling Spirit provides believers with the presence of the indwelling Christ. And then John voices a concern. Look at verse 1. John voices a concern. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." I'm going to stop right there. Do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit. Now, the language here is a bit strange to us, is it not? I mean, when I take my girls over the bus, my girls get on the bus across the street when they drop off the high school middle kids, so we walk them over there. And when I'm getting them to school, I don't kiss them goodbye, and as they're walking away, I go, hey, girls, hey, hold on, stop. Do not believe every spirit, right? I mean, we don't say that, right? That's not one of our ways of communicating. They would probably look at me, well, like they probably usually look at me, so maybe I should do that. I mean, it's not going to be any difference, right? But they probably look at me with like a weird, like, "What are you talking about? Dad's lost his mind," which they probably already say. So, but anyways, That language is just strange to us, but we need to remember we are separated by 2,000 years, right? And people spoke differently. I mean, it was only a few decades ago when everyone wanted to have a groovy time, right? Mike McCann still uses that, and we'll just let him, but he likes having groovy times. But, you know, the language has changed, but the basic concept remains the same. Do not believe every spirit simply means, in our language today, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. Believers should not believe everything they hear just because someone says it's a message from God, except for me, right? Just kidding. The truth is, you should be checking me. Even what I say, you should be checking me. You should be checking what I say also. If you guys would only understand how much stress I stress over and study the scriptures in order to make sure what I'm saying is truth. That the scriptures I am reading is how they should be translated. One of my biggest concerns is misinterpreting the scriptures. I take James chapter 3, verse 1 very seriously. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That scares me. That verse scares me. And I say all this not to pat myself on the back so people can say how great I am. I say this because you should know how serious I take it, how serious I take preaching and walking through scriptures, and you should feel good about that. You should feel good that your pastor takes good care of that. So John here in verse 4:1 is saying not to believe every spirit. Spirit here means, and if you look down and cheat a little bit down in verse 6, it says the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So what John is doing is dividing all teaching, all claims of truth in two categories. That which is true and that which is false. Two categories here. We got that which is true and that which is not. So let's continue on in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. People claim to have the authority to teach spiritual truths, but can they prove it? Can they prove it? Listen up. Ever since his temptation of Eve, Satan has sought to distort and deny God's word. He is the source behind all false teachers and false beliefs. So John says, hey, you need to test this stuff, right? To see what's truth and what's not truth. And then John gives two tests to determine truth from lies and false teachers from true teachers. And the first one is this. They acknowledge and proclaim that Jesus is God incarnate, God in human form. They acknowledge and proclaim that Jesus is God incarnate, which is God in human form. Look at verse 2 through 3. It says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Homologeo. Everybody say that. Homologeo. This is the Greek word which is translated here as acknowledge. But this word is also translated as proclaim. And here's why that's important to know. I can do a lot of things to acknowledge someone, right? You with me? I mean, acknowledge means to take notice of, right? I mean, I can take notice of people, right? You can do all kinds of things to take notice of people. You can be like, hey, Roy, let's do a chest bump. I mean, I can shake Roy's hand, right? Right? I can give Thelma a hug, right? I can be like, oh. You know, I can give Judy a high five. Let's do it. Yeah, Jim a fist bump, right? I mean, I can do all kinds of things to acknowledge people, right? I don't even have to say a word. I can just walk past somebody and just put my hand on their shoulder. That's acknowledging someone, right? Or you can do what us guys typically do. What us guys typically do? We just see someone, we give them the old nod. You know? This happened actually a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was last week. We decided we'd go down to Lima to visit my parents. And so we do what we normally do when we go to Lima. We drop the kids off at my parents and then we head out. So we do free babysitting. And so Karen and I, we went out, decided we were going to go on a date, and so that's what we did. And we decided we were going to go to a movie, and so we went and caught a movie, and then afterwards we were hungry, so we decided we were going to go to eat, and we were trying to figure out where we were going to go to eat, and we decided we were going to go to Beer Barrel, which is a Lima staple restaurant. I know it has the word beer in it, but it's just a sports bar area, and it's actually a restaurant Karen and I used to go to when we were dating and engaged and first married, and so they had one right next to the movie theater, so we decided to go there, and we had a nice time just kind of talking without kids and have to worry about, sit down, don't do that, be quiet, don't do that, I'm going to go out and we're going to go to the bathroom, spank your butt, you don't do this. So it was nice. We had a really nice time. But as we were leaving, we were walking out, and it was packed. I mean, this place was packed, and it was probably, what was it, 10:30 at night? Something like that. It was late, but this place was packed with people. And so we were getting ready to leave. We were walking out the door, and there was a group of people standing, waiting to get seated, and my eyes locked eyes with somebody else, and I knew him. It was Coach Adams. He was a high school football coach or a high school basketball coach when I was in high school, and he's been the high school basketball coach at Elida High School, my alma mater, from like 1985 to 2006. So he's been around. Everybody knows who he is. He's now the coach at UNOH, University of Northwestern Ohio. And I didn't play basketball in high school, but I had some classes with Coach Adams. I had gym and health, and so I don't know if he knew me, but we locked eyes. And we did the head nod. And I said, hey, coach. And we walked out. I don't even know if Kerry even heard me. But I acknowledged him. He acknowledged me, right? You follow me? I acknowledged Coach Adams, and Coach Adams acknowledged me. But to proclaim something is different. If I'm proclaiming something, I want everyone to know, right? I want to say it loud and proud. I have the hottest wife ever, right? I say that so everybody can hear. When you proclaim something, you say it so everyone knows. You can acknowledge Jesus all you want. You can give him a little head nod, maybe a smile. You can do one of these after do one of those. After you score a touchdown or whatever, you can acknowledge him, but guess what? Even Satan and his demons do that. Luke 4:41, Jesus is healing people and the demons come out of people. And as the demons are coming out, they say, you are the Son of God. They acknowledged him, right? Or James says in James 2:19, you believe there is one God? Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. And that's what John is getting at here in verse 2. You want to know if this teacher is teaching truth? Well, do they not only acknowledge but also proclaim, homologeo, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh to earth, meaning his human body was physically real, and that's a big and, because this is most important, do they believe and teach that Jesus was both fully human and fully God? Those who refuse to do this acknowledge and proclaim that Jesus is God in human form. Those who refuse to do that are not from God. And if they are not from God, then they are a false prophet practicing the spirit of deception. Now, if you are anything like me, you worry about some things, right? And this would be the point at which some people would begin to worry. What if I don't recognize a false teacher? What if they bring stuff up and I don't know what to say or how to defend myself? What if, what if, what if? And I think John was sensing some of this. Because sandwiched in between these two tests is verse 4, and it's one of the more popular and well-known verses in the Bible, but rarely read in the context of this passage. Let me read it. Verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Believers need to be aware and alert to false teaching, but not afraid. You belong to God. And because of that new birth in Christ, you now have the Holy Spirit inside of you as a built-in check against false teaching. The Holy Spirit works in you. The Holy Spirit's work in you leads you to truth and overcomes all the false teachers and teachings. This is why it's so important to have a sound doctrine, to know what you believe, why you believe it. So important to know God's word, which is a good lead into the second test, which is how they speak. How they speak. Look at verses 5 through 6. It says, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. The spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. The they John is talking about are the false teachers who belong to this world and not from God, not to God. In John's gospel and in his letters, he uses the term world. He uses that quite often. And he uses it to describe the worldly systems of beliefs and the people who stand in opposition to God. The false teachers who are a part of the worldly system speak from a worldly viewpoint or a worldly point of view. And because they do this, they find acceptance by the world that listens to them. Listen, false teachers are popular with the world because they tell people what they want to hear. You follow me? Early on in my ministry, I made it a point to seek out a couple of people. People who I consider great friends, mentors who love me no matter what. But also tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. Right? Everybody should have those kind of people in their lives. I know I can call these couple of people up and ask them a question or kind of tell them what's going on in my life, and they'll shoot straight with me. They will tell me exactly what I need to hear, even if it's painful, even if it hurts. And I appreciate that because I realize they do not do this to hurt me, but to make me a better person, make me a better husband, make me a better dad, and make me a better pastor. Christians who faithfully teach God's word will not win popularity contests in the world. Shoot, Christians who faithfully teach God's word sometimes won't even win popularity contests with Christians, right? When I accepted the call into ministry, I accepted the call to preach and teach boldly. Realizing that sometimes there are going to be people who don't like what I have to say. Because here's the reality, when God is convicting us through the sermon or maybe some other Christian teaching, we like to get mad at the person who's speaking, right? How dare he say that? He can't say that. How dare he say I can't live with my boyfriend or girlfriend, right? How dare they say I should abstain from sex until marriage? How dare he say I should be tithing or tithe 10%? How dare he say I shouldn't be having an affair? How dare he say I should love my neighbor? Has he seen my neighbor? Right? Right? Don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. And here's the truth. Usually when we have that kind of attitude and we say those kinds of things, it's because there is sin in our lives. And God, through the Holy Spirit, is pushing on our hearts and telling us that that there's just not something right in our lives. People don't want to hear that the stuff they are doing is sin or evil. People don't want to listen to demands that they change their behavior. False teachers will be well received by non-Christians, and dare I say, even some Christians. So listen to how they speak. What are they saying? And also observe who's listening to them. Then you'll be able to discern whether what they're saying is truth or false. We must always rely on the basic truths of the gospel. The word of God is our surest guide to truth. You should know your word, the word, right? You should be in the word, know the word. The teachers who conform to God's word are from God. And guess what that means? God's people need to listen to them. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that you did not leave us in this world by ourselves, but you have given us your word as a guidebook to our life, that we can go to this guidebook in times of need and troubles, or if we need some answers, and we can read your words and find out those answers with truth behind them. And the reality is a lot of us, including myself, neglect those sometimes, neglect reading that map, and we get off course and we become lost in a world filled with anger and hate and greed and all sorts of other stuff. Father, help us to realize that there is a difference between truth and false. We realize that there are people out there who speak a false truth, and help us to realize that we don't have to listen to them and follow them, Father, that you've given us something better. Help us to have the strength and courage to stand up against those that are trying to teach a false doctrine, Father. And encourage us all to read your word more. We just love you, and we thank you for everything you've given us and blessed us with. It's your name we pray. Amen.